There is something indeed. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. It says this: as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for the word of God. We thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for that which you want to teach us today regarding the body, regarding the head who is Christ, regarding our place, Lord, in serving you, but also more than that, how we are powerfully and dynamically integrated not only into life in Christ, but also into life with one another. Because we made that decision to come and to follow Jesus, and there's that part of it which means that we now are a part of the body of Christ. And so, Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word. We pray that you would teach us and guide us and allow us to have greater understanding about how we can live and walk as one body, in one spirit, with one faith, one Lord over all. And we thank you for your grace and your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Everybody point to your head, if you would, please. All right, good job. We know where it is. That's a good thing. All right. It's part of the central nervous system, and it's an essential part of operating everything within our body and within the functions of our body. In fact, much of the brain's physiological task involves receiving information from the rest of the body, interpreting that information, and then guiding the body's responses to it. The types of input the brain interprets include odors, light, sounds, and pain. The brain also helps perform vital operations such as breathing, maintaining blood pressure, and releasing hormones or chemical signals that control certain cells and the way we operate in our body. And so we have a necessity for our head to be attached to our body. Can we just get a simple amen on that one, okay? It seems simple, but let's just start there. We have a necessity to have our head attached to our body, right? The question is the head attached to the body, or is the body attached to the head? Just think about that for just a moment. If our physical body needs the head to control the functions of the body, how we respond to our environment, how the health of the entire system works, the actions taken by the body, then what, or more appropriately, who should be the head of the body of Christ? We have just read the scripture that tells us that Christ is the head of the body. And so therefore, an essential for us to have life and spiritual life is that the body of Christ must hold fast to the head. So we are not trying to attach Jesus to us. We are attaching ourselves to him. And there is a very big distinction in how we live out our faith based upon how we view those. A lot of us may say, well, you know, I have this and I have that. Oh, and I've got my faith too, as if Jesus is some sort of add-on, some option in the click through the website of our life where we go, yeah, add Jesus, sure, we'll add that one and we'll do this. That is a very wrong view of how our life in Christ is formed. Jesus Christ is the head. And when we come to faith in him, we are now a part of the body. We cannot become disconnected from the head and still be a part of the body. We cannot become disconnected from the head and still be a part of the body. We can come to church. We can have what we think is fellowship with one another. We can share together. We can do all the right things. We can sing in the choir, teach Sunday school, all these things. But when we become disconnected from the head, we are not a part of the body in the way he intends us to be. Likewise, we cannot become disconnected from the rest of the body and be part of the body. I don't know about you, but I don't usually find that while I'm walking down the street, I just lose a finger. It flies off and just goes in another direction. It doesn't really happen to me. I can tell you that I've never been just walking along and my elbow just flies out and goes its own way. But if you look at a picture of the body of Christ, how often is that exactly what's happening? Well, I don't like the way this, I don't like that. Boom, boom, boom. We got body parts flying all over in the kingdom. And we have to understand that we are connected and we are connected to one another in the body of Christ. Spiritually speaking, I want us to comprehend this today. We are not an organization. We are a living organism. And there is a major difference between an organization and an organism, and that is an organization does not have life. An organism has life. It has growth. It has effect. It has power. We are not some business institution. We are not some religious entity. We are not some philosophical club. We are not a social club. We are a part of the living organism that is the body of Christ. And so because of that, the head must direct the body. How would you like it if suddenly you woke up one day and your foot was telling the rest of your body what to do? Your head was no longer involved in the process. Well, you would probably be in a catatonic state at that point. There wouldn't be a lot going on. The reason is because anytime any other part of the body is directing the course of that body, it begins to change the functional nature of the body. For example, how many have ever had a physical injury to your body? Do you know that when you have a physical injury to a part of your body, suddenly that part of your body is now directing the course of much of your day? All of a sudden, if you have a broken foot, you're not walking the same way. You're not going to the same places. You're not doing the same things. You're either waking up earlier or you're running late, not really running because you have a broken foot, or you're trying to drive. I once had my left foot in a cast. My left foot was in a cast and I was driving a stick shift car. Believe me, it altered the way I drove. Some of you that know how I drive think that may have been a good thing, but... So the reality is that when one part of the body is directing the show, then the body is not really responding to the impulse of the head, who is Christ. Therefore, it's very important for us to understand that to be a part of the body of Christ, we must understand the head must direct the body and the members must move at the direction of the head. But in order for that to work, that sounds like a great spiritual plan. Okay, I will let Jesus lead my life. I will respond to him. Here's the tricky part, though. In the body, the members must be connected to one another in order to be connected to the head and to move at the impulse of the head. My hand is not connected to my head. It'd be a freak of nature if I had a hand growing out. If I had a foot growing out of my head, that'd be even stranger, wouldn't it? The old song says that the neck bone's connected to the back bones, connected to the hip bone, connected to the leg bone. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. Them bones, dry bones. Anyway, great song. So, the point of that is this. Your hand is connected to your wrist, is connected to your forearm, is connected to your elbow, is connected to your upper arm, is connected to your shoulder, which is connected then to your neck, which is connected to your head. If I need to do something simple, like pick up this water bottle, I don't just tell my elbow to pick up the water bottle. I tell my shoulder to move forward, my upper arm to start to come up, my elbow to bend, my forearm to move forward, my wrist to position itself, my fingers to open. We have contact, Roger, mission control. We have, Now, it happens at lightning speed. Because we're so used to this function, that's the way a functional body moves, that when the head says do something, the body gets it done. Can you say amen this morning? That's a functional body. The impulse of the head guides the action because it causes those parts of the body to move together. What if my elbow says, but I want to pick up the bottle? Mission control, abort. No, wait, we have another plan. No. And I'm trying to drink with an elbow. I will look weird. We got a lot of places in the body of Christ where we just look weird. Because we're trying to do things outside of the function of the way God designed it. We're not listening to the way God intends to move. And so as a result of that, our message this morning is very simple. As the body of Christ, we are members of a body which must function together according to the impulse of the head so that we can have life, we can have fruitfulness, effectiveness in the kingdom of God. And so to understand that a little bit more, let's look at a couple of key scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 says this, "Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread." You say, "Well, now wait a minute, we're going to take communion in a few moments, and there are little pieces of bread and all sorts of it." No, there is one, and he is the bread of life, and his name is Jesus. And I don't care whether you've partaken of that bread of life by asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to be the Lord of your life here in Florida, in Argentina, in China, in Japan, in Brazil, in some other part of the world. It doesn't matter. You are now part of one bread, one body. And so we have not just brothers and sisters, but we have members of the same body throughout this world because we are members of one another if we have put our faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 25 elaborate. And says this in 1 Corinthians 12, "For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now that seems to be a contradiction at first, but what he is saying is the body is not just one person, but many members which make up one body. If you say, what is the body of Dan Lumadue? Well, it's not just my hand. It's not just one member. It's all the members that are together and working together. And so Paul gives us that indication there. Verse 15, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less the part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, that would look weird. That's not in there. That's my... Anyway, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. You know what's funny to me as a pastor? We think we choose where we go to church. We are either where God wants us or we are disobedient. It's that simple. We choose our function in the church, we think. Well, I want to be a singer. But you can't sing. I want to be a teacher. But you can't teach. I don't want to be a nursery worker. But God called you to be. So we start telling God where we should be aligned in the body. If I woke up one day and my foot was talking to me saying, I don't like being down at the end anymore. I want to be right up by the heart. I want to grow right out of the chest. Number one, I would change medications. No, just kidding. Just kidding. But that would be strange. It would be dysfunctional. God has a place for us. He has a purpose for us. And our part is to find what that place and purpose is in the body. And it says here in the scripture, going on, but now in verse 20, there are many members, but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, or again to the head of the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it's much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Church, we should never despise members of the body that we think fulfill a lesser task, because there is nothing that is unimportant in the kingdom. And church, on the flip side, we should never elevate those that are in the more visible or prominent tasks, for they are men and women just like we. We should be mindful that we all serve a purpose according to the calling that the Lord has for us. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on those we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacks, so that there may be no division in the body. In other words, when we are where we should be, doing what we should be, the body is not divided. The body has a unity that comes together. And that the members may have the same care for one another. Now I want to take this one step further in Romans 12, verses 3 to 5. Romans 12, 3 says, for through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. There is a humility to our place. There is no glory in what we do. Our glory is in Jesus Christ alone. But to think as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, which we've talked about now, and all the members do not have the same function. We've talked about that. So we who are many are one body in Christ. We've talked about that. And individually, members of one another. Rewind. What? Individually, members of one another? I'm a member of this joker sitting next to me? You've got to be kidding me. Don't get offended. It's just an illustration, all right? Some of you are looking like, oh, I'm not a joker. Anyway. We are okay with saying we're a member of the body of Christ. We're okay with saying Jesus is our head. We're okay with saying we should have a place in the body. But when we say we are members of one another, we say, wait a minute, not so fast. You see, you can't get away from the body of Christ. You can run, but you can't hide. To paraphrase. You can never become disconnected unless you disconnect. And once you disconnect, you're disconnected. We have this idea that we can still serve Christ, but eschew the body of Christ. Somehow we can step away. But we are members of one another. We influence. And so there are a couple of key concepts I want to run through. And for that sake, just take a couple of notes if you would, please. Number one, Life flows from the head. Life flows from the head. I don't know about you, but I love the fact that Jesus promised that he would give me life and that life abundantly. I have spiritual life in Christ that I did not have before I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I know that when somebody who is in bondage, who is in distress, who is facing the troubles of this world, when they are without Christ and the sin that has consumed them, or even just the hopelessness that surrounds them, when they give their life to Jesus Christ, something supernatural happens, and that is life begins to flow from the head to that which is now a part of the body that had not yet been a part of the body. Picture it this: the reason that we have life is because of the flow of life that comes from the head, who is Christ, through the members of the body. If you have an amputated finger in an accident, or even a hand, and the doctors are able to stitch it back together, they take that, they try to put it on ice before it's reattached. They try and take care of it, but it is dying until it is reattached to the body, and then that life begins to flow. But life originates in the head. Life originates in Christ Jesus, and it flows through the body. We must understand this process. Our life is from Christ and in Christ and through Christ. Without our head, we die. Without the head, there is no life. But with the head connected to the body, and with the body more appropriately connected to the head, we have life. One of my favorite authors on this subject is a man by the name of Watchman Nee, a Chinese Christian leader who lived in the early 1900s. He has a Chinese name. He adopted the name Watchman Nee. He was a brilliant man, a devoted follower of Christ, very educated. He used a great deal of his resources to buy books and to read about Christianity. He had books going back to the first century. He had over 3,000 books to his name in the early 1900s and began to just absorb and be taught, and has an incredible understanding of the body of Christ. He was highly influential in the Church of China. He was influential in a time when the church needed to understand the body of Christ and being members of one another and what this shared being was as they came together. And why is this so important? Because it wasn't long after that, and it was during his lifetime in ministry, that communism came in and began to tear apart what was in China, began to tear apart the established church, and the church had to go underground. I believe it was in part due to Watchman Nee's faithfulness in imparting this understanding to people, that when the persecution came and they tried to push the church in China underground, what happened is the church realized, we are members of one another. We are one body. Our head is Christ. We share together in the body of Christ. We cannot survive with one another. Come to my house. We'll work. Worship, we'll pray, we'll believe. Come to my house, we'll sing songs, we'll worship our God. And the house churches of China multiplied, and the communists could not keep track of it, and they could not overtake it. Because one man had an understanding of the body of Christ that he shared. So when I look at this subject, I look heavily to Watchman Nee. I love what he writes about it. I wish I had time to just sit and read his whole book to you this morning, but obviously we don't. So a couple of experts. Here's one thought. Thus, though a Christian receives life from Christ, it remains in the Lord. We have received life, yet this life and the head are inseparable. Upon our accepting him, we must still live in him. Though we have received him, we are yet to depend on him. Why do we think that we come to Christ and we receive life from him, but then we try and receive life from other things once we are in him? It's almost like we live our Christian life trying to decapitate ourselves. We live trying to do something on our own, but the life flows from him. It doesn't flow from ourselves or from someone else. It flows through Christ Jesus. Life. We also have authority. Authority flows from the head. A part of the body that does not follow the impulses of the head is considered to be dysfunctional or broken. And so if we have a part of the body that's just doing its own thing and just kind of, you know, doing whatever it wants at different times, then we say that's not normal. It's something's wrong with that, as you can see by my hand flailing freely on its own. If I did that without, now you know I'm doing it because of the message, but if I just walked up to you and started talking to you and started doing this, you'd be like, what's wrong with you, you know? Unless I'm in a softball game trying to give signals, you know, something's going on here. Because unless the authority is there for the head to say, now hand, move, and the rest of the body to move with it, then there is something wrong with that. And here's where that distinction comes in. Because the authority that we have in this life flows directly from the authority we get from Jesus Christ. If we don't follow his authority, we have no spiritual authority. If we don't follow what he says, if we don't follow his path, his direction for us, his dictates upon our life, we then do not have the spiritual authority. We are dysfunctional in that regard. We all must be under the authority of Christ. He is the head of the church. We are his body. Anyone, Nee says, who confesses with his mouth that he knows body life ought to ask himself if he has subjected himself to the Lord's authority, whether or not he is in subjection to the authority of the head. Because whether or not he is proves whether or not he really knows the life of the body. And then he asks this question, what is meant by follow? To follow signifies the way I tread and the place where I go are all decided by someone else. We are following the Lord, therefore we have no authority to decide our own path. The body in its relation to the head can only obey and follow. And so if we wish to live out the life of the body of Christ, we must cover our own head. That is to say, we must not have our personal opinion, egotistic will, or selfish thought. We can only obey the Lord and let him be the head. The Lord alone is in that position, and nobody else can be. No one else can take the place of Jesus in your life. Sometimes we depend on other people for spiritual life a little too much. Life and authority flow from the head. The truth is, it does flow through the rest of the body, and we are connected and we are members of one another. So we need that flow. But obedience is the only proper response of the body. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16 says, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in life. And so we are fitted and framed together. And we need to understand that we fellowship with one another, but that fellowship is inseparable. If our fellowship is such that we are holding on to one another, then we are not truly fellowshipping with one another because we should be holding on to the head. If both are holding on to the head, then we are connected. Let me put it to you this way. My left hand and my right hand are in fellowship with one another. They are connected. Not just when I hold my own hands or when I clap, but they are connected. Why? Because they are ultimately connected to the head. And so they are in fellowship with one another. But if I try to go through life saying, well, I want my left hand and my right hand to be connected in fellowship together, and I just walk through life like this, if I trip and fall, I get a bruised face. If I try to eat, it looks weird. There are a lot of things I just can't do. And so our fellowship is from the joint fellowship we have with Christ, and then we fellowship with one another. Therefore, if that is the definition of fellowship, if I say, I don't like my brother or sister, I don't want to be around them, I can't stand them, we are not disfellowshipping one from the other, we are disfellowshipping and severing ourselves from the connection of the head which connects us to the other. Does that make sense? So be careful how you criticize one another. Be careful how we gossip, be careful how we slander, be careful how we say things about others to make them look bad. Because you're not severing yourself from them, you're severing yourself from Christ when you do that. And all the while thinking you're the one that's righteous. True fellowship in the body is through the connection with Christ, not through the connection with one another. Therefore, we do not have the option of severing from one another in that divine fellowship. We have changes in our relationship, but that relationship comes as the Lord gives impulse and gives directions. We cannot possibly have relationship to a certain degree with everyone in this body, but the Lord will impulse different levels of relationship with one another, not because we choose, but because he chooses. Even our relationships should be divinely led so that we have the result of obedience that brings us in fellowship together. And so what are our conditions? We must crucify the flesh and walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. We know this concept. I won't take a lot of time this morning, but let me read my favorite verse, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Jesus paid the price. We don't have to. He is crucified, but now our crucifixion is to crucify the flesh and to say, Lord, I surrender everything to you. And then we walk not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And in doing so, we love others in the body, but through Christ, and we are connected to one another. And so there is one great barrier this morning before we proceed around our Lord's table that I'd like us to be aware of. And if you're taking notes, just write down this word, please. Individualism. The greatest threat to the body is individualism. Individualism is not compatible with the nature of the body of Christ. Nee says, God permits us to be individuals, but he does not allow us to be individualistic. Before we enter experientially into the body of Christ, we are full of individualism. For even our spiritual pursuit is inspired by this trait. Why seek for holiness? That I, myself, may be holy. Why do I desire power? That I personally may have power from the Lord. Why look for fruits of labor? That I, individually, may have fruits. Why wish for the kingdom? That I, myself, may possess the kingdom. Everything is bound up with I. This is not the body, this is individualism. You see, even the good pursuits, if they are pursuits for what is focused around me, is not of benefit. If you and I are to truly operate as the body of Christ, we should stop asking I questions and we should ask we questions. How does my conduct affect us? How do my thoughts affect us? How do my habits and behaviors, seen or unseen, affect us? You see, I is at the nature, at the very basic nature of a dysfunction of the body that we call cancer. Cancer happens when one cell begins to enlarge itself and begin growing and then take over whatever is around it. And so individualism does the same. It becomes focused on self. It begins to grow. It begins to consume what's around it. Anytime we are more focused upon ourselves, even in spiritual matters, we are beginning an individualism that overtakes. The problem is we, church, do not live in a communal culture such as those in Asia, like in China, where Ni was, or Japan, where we spent 11 years, or as in Latin America, where some of you are from, it's a communal culture. We in America are in an individualistic culture. We actually take pride in our individualism. The problem is, in the body of Christ, an individual is a loose finger flying across the room on its own, and it might hurt somebody. In the body of Christ, an individual is one that is disconnected and therefore unable to work with the rest of the body in the purposes and the pursuits. To this degree, to those that you've heard this before, people say, well, you know, I can have a relationship with the Lord myself, just me and God, and I don't have to go to church and I don't have to be a part of a fellowship. I'm sorry, but all of Scripture says you are wrong. Because you are now disunited and disfellowshipped in that sense of working and participating together. Church, going to church will not make you a Christian. Being here today doesn't make you a Christian any more than sitting in your garage makes you a car. But because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, it is essential that you unite and fellowship with the body of Christ. And that we come together recognizing it's not just a human social fellowship, it is a divine relational connection. Self-focused individualism looks to receive, not to give. Self-focused individualism experiences faith in isolation, not in community, as we just mentioned. Self-focused individualism will sometimes gather people into groups which are defined by being alike, segregated, or siloed. And so we say, well, I'm not being individualistic. I'm with people just like me. I love the fact that Kingsway is not a white church. It's not a black church. It's not a brown church. It's an us church. It's a we church. It's a kingdom church. You see, we're good with fellowship. Amen. Give God praise for that. Give yourselves a hand as well. Because we have to put up with people different from us. Some of y'all from down south, I don't understand. I'm from Ohio, you know? We got some Canadians in the house, too. I won't pick on them. They'll throw a hockey puck at me. That hurts, you know? We got some of you that are from Florida. You're born and raised here. You're saying, why do all these people from Ohio and New Jersey end up around here? We have people who are black, we have people who are white, and sometimes it's kind of like we look at each other and say, we don't want to talk the fact that you're black and I'm white. That's a good thing. But there are other times, I'm going to tell you, I am not Caribbean, but I love Caribbean culture. I love Caribbean food. But why do y'all keep trying to get me to dance Caribbean? I can't do it. I told you. So when we try and silo together, we have a problem. It's individualism. And all along we're deceived. We think, well, no, I'm gathering in groups. But if we're gathering in groups that look just like us, we are not fellowshipping with the body, for we are members one of another, all the body. Amen. And so we have this command from our Lord to come together. Self-focused individualism, finally, will disrupt ministry. Ministry must be done together with others. The body functions in the gifts and callings of each member, because ministry flows through the members of the body. If we want to minister, if we want to be effective, we cannot do it alone. You must be connected to the body to minister. I have been in ministry for a little while now, and I will tell you, it's actually 25 years now this year, I will tell you, I've seen many people try to do ministry alone. They start off great. Lots of zeal, lots of enthusiasm. They usually flame out, burn out within a matter of years, just a few years. Because we need the life flow and the authority flow of the rest of the body. We need to do ministry within the context of working together in the body of Christ. You say, well, that doesn't interest me. I don't plan on doing ministry. Really? I want you to get up out of bed tomorrow morning, and I want you to tell your left leg, you have no functioning today. Your left leg decided it's not going to function today. You're good on the right leg. You lean over here. Shoo, boom, you know. You try to walk, you're like. Because if your leg is not fulfilling its purpose, you're just dragging it along. It's a weight. It's not an effective part. God has ministry for each and every one of us. Otherwise, we are a dead weight upon the body. I don't want to be offensive to anybody, but look, you figure out what God wants you doing in the body of Christ and get to doing it. Because otherwise, you're just like an arm hanging at the side. We're glad you're here, but when we go to shake hands, you're just like, it's not working. We all need to function in that because we are members of one body together. Let me close with this scripture. Romans 12. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. As our ushers come to help me with communion, our worship team comes to lead us in a song, I want you to just look around this congregation. And I want you to look around the faces that are here. People you know, people that you don't know. People with whom you've had conversation, people with whom you've not had conversation. People with whom you have fellowship, people with whom you don't know it, but you actually do have fellowship. Because you may sit over here and you may sit over here, but you are connected like the right hand and the left hand to the head. If so, you are connected to each other. We are members one of another. I don't know about you, but when I get an ingrown toenail, I'm miserable. I'm a whiner. I'm a baby. I just say that, I'm a wimp. No amens for my family right now, okay? When one body hurts, the rest of the body hurts. It affects us. Your pain affects the rest of us. We want to see healing come. But you know, there is a point at which that toe should receive healing, and if it doesn't, there are other problems that come. And so we have to say, Lord, heal me, work in me. And my body should function as it should. Now, it doesn't function like it did 20 years ago, but that's because of aging and a lot of other reasons that I'm not going to name right now. But the reality is that spiritually, there's no such thing as aging. Because we only grow in the way we serve one another and minister to one another and minister to others as one body. Because we've been given everlasting life through Jesus Christ. And so we have that function. We're members of one another. I want to challenge you in this. Stop saying, what do I want to do? Start asking the question, what benefits my body, the body of Christ? What is following the impulse of the head? Every decision coming into alignment. When you and I want to lash out at somebody or to in some way misrepresent the kingdom and diminish our testimony, do we recognize that it's actually not just hurting us, it's hurting the body and it's hurting the head? Do you recognize that when you step out in faith and you act with purpose and with holiness and with grace, that it is glorifying the body and it's glorifying Christ? We are members one of another. When we come to church, we don't say, what do I need today? We say, how can I minister to the rest of the body? What can I do? Just by being here, you're a blessing. By worshiping together, you're a blessing. By encouragement and fellowship and shaking hands and greeting and praying for one another, you're a blessing. We minister to one another. And church, I'm going to tell you, there may come a day in our lifetime when there is a persecution that arises on our land that is so great that church like this becomes illegal. In that day, will you sit alone in your home? And will you be the last zebra in the pack that is exposed to the advances of the lion that comes to kill, steal, and destroy? Or will you be a part of the fellowship of believers that comes together and says, it doesn't matter what they do us or what to do us or what they bring upon us. We are members of one another, and we will lift up Jesus together. We will live body life together. We will exalt God together. If we say we're going to do it in persecution, then please tell me why when there is no persecution, we are so quick to gossip, to slander, to cut one another, to disregard one another, to push each other away. Why? It's because we are focused on self. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's why we share in his table together this morning. To remind us that we are members of a body whose head is Christ, and we are members one of another. We serve an open communion as we recognize the death and the resurrection of our Lord. You are welcome to partake with us if you are not an official member of Kingsway, because as I just preached, we are members of the body of Christ. If you are a member of the body of Christ, you are welcome to take this with us. We ask that you hold the elements when you receive them, as we will then take them together as one, rejoicing in what God has done in our life. He gave his life that we might live. As you take these elements and hold them, would you just give him thanks and recommit to serving Christ the head by obedience? Receive the life and the authority that flows from him. If you need it today, let the life of Christ flow through you. We all need it. And by saying we are members together of one body. Gentlemen, please serve us. Bless your name, O Lord, my God. Bless your name, O Lord, for you are holy. Blessed be your name.
Savior, say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe.
Lord, we thank you today that we are one body. But we're not a body with some human affiliation or association. We're not a body because we share some common sporting interest or hobby or business interest. We're not a body because we are of some like, similar background. Lord, we are a body because we have all at one time or another said, Jesus Christ, thank you for paying the price for my sin. I receive your forgiveness. I am cleansed. I am washed. I am made whole. And we have said, Lord, help me then to live in such a way as to honor you and to live free of that sin by walking according to your word and your command. Yes, you'll forgive when we sin again and ask you to forgive us, but may we strive, Lord, to honor you and to please you and to glorify you by living a life that is free from sin, walking not according to the flesh and its desires. We all have a flesh. We all have different desires that are at times very strong desires ingrained within us. Lord, may we crucify the flesh with its desires, and may we instead say, Jesus, by your Spirit, we want to live and walk. The life of the Spirit is joy and peace. Lord, I ask right now that as we take these elements, we would be reminded that we are not in isolation. For the one that is feeling lonely today, for the one that it seems like their life is collapsing in around them, may they know that they don't stand alone, that they stand with brothers and sisters on each side. They stand with those around the world who are followers of Jesus Christ. They stand just one mention of needing prayer away from someone praying for them and standing with them. They stand with those who will walk with them and encourage them and pray and believe and share together in the truth of God's word. We are not alone. God, when you created man, the first thing that you said was not good is that man should be alone. Everything else was good, and you said that's not good. So, Lord, today we know that we're not alone. May you give to anyone who has come in weary or broken or hopeless or afraid the life that flows from the head through the body. May life course through our veins today, Lord, spiritually, because you are the giver of life. You are the author of life. And may we know, Lord Jesus, that we receive that flow as we are connected to the head. But, Lord, it is through obedience. And it was your obedience to the Father that took you to the cross. You said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. And in doing so, you instituted for us the motive behind and the method behind our living as members of the body of Christ. When the head can say, not my will, but thy will be done, may we as the body say, not my will, but thy will be done. So, Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. We praise you that we can gather around this table today and share together. If you are a follower of Jesus, would you take that bread, and would you right now with thanksgiving for his body broken for you to set you free from sin, would you take and eat and remember the price that he paid for you? Give thanks for forgiveness. Give thanks for healing. By his stripes we're healed. Hallelujah, Lord. Jesus didn't go to each individual disciple one by one. He sat at a table with all of them. He didn't take the cup and say, well, now, Peter, let me talk to you. And then a little later, Bartholomew, let me talk to you. And a little bit later, now, John, let me talk to you. With them all together, he took the cup and he said, this is now a new covenant in my blood. A new covenant. A covenant is like a contract. Another word for covenant is testament. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. Covenants, contracts, agreements. And it's made with all parties who sign to that agreement. In other words, when Jesus sat at the table with the 12, he didn't just covenant one each with them as a one way. They all covenanted together. And it was the mutual covenanting around Christ that brought them together. When we eat and drink, we don't just drink in remembrance of the blood that was shed, but we covenant together. And we are all party to the covenant of which we've all partaken. And a part of that covenant is how we live body life together. Jesus said, not I, but you, to the Father. And what motivated his action was obedience to the Father and benefit to the body in which we now stand. Church, if we can all live that same way, obedience to the Father and a desire for benefit to the body of which we are now a part together, then we fulfill his covenant as we serve him together. Would you take that cup that represents his shed blood, thanking him for life that comes only through his name, but committing us to serving him as Savior and Lord, our head, and to living together as one body, members one of another. And then would you stand with me, please? You see how you did that? Wasn't that cool? Your ears heard stand. Your brain said stand. Look what your body did. Give yourselves a hand this morning, all right? I'm not just being silly. That's what God does. He impulses. And at the impulse of God and of His Word and of His truth, we respond and we say, Lord, we want to do what You ask us to do. May the head commission and may the body follow. May we say, Lord, may I do all that You want me to do. And so, of course, the greatest thing in that is obedience and surrender. Would you lift your hands and surrender to the Lord and say, not my will, but Thy will, Lord. May I move at the impulse of Your will. May I move at the impulse of Your word. May I respond as You call me. At times, even when it might seem painful, Lord, I still want to do what You call me to do. Lord, I want to respond like You call me to respond. I want to say what You want me to say, do what You want me to say. I want to be under Your authority, Jesus, and not my own. And I long to follow You with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love You, Lord, with my heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love my neighbor as myself, and the new commandment that we love one another in the mutual and reciprocal love of Christ, and that we do what we do with the gifts and callings You give us. Just as our body responds to our head giving impulse, may the impulse of the head, who is Jesus Christ, who I declare today is the head over this church at Kingsway, who is the head over the universal church of those who are committed to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. As You give impulse to us, Lord, may we simply trust and obey and find You faithful as we are faithful as well. And Lord, You will be the flow of life. You will be the flow of authority. And You will give Your grace and power for us to live every day, not alone, but as members one of another and as those who are connected to the head, who is Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. We give You thanks, we give You praise, and we go out with joy to move at Your impulse, to move at Your impulse, to move, Lord, at the impulse of Thy will, of Thy word, and of Thy spirit every day. And we thank You and praise You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And amen. Give God praise if you would today. He's worthy of praise and blessing. God bless you. Have an awesome week. God bless you. And we'll see you here Wednesday night as we continue looking at who God is. God bless you.